I'm Joanne Ozug, and you are listening to The Road to Carnivore, episode 22. In this episode, we are going to talk about the damaging effects that sugar consumption has on the human body. Initially, I questioned whether or not I would do an episode on this because sugar's reputation as an unhealthy food is already pretty established. We all know that sugar is bad for us. But I don't think that most people grasp the extent of the damage that sugar does on the body internally, how it damages our cells and tissues and hormone function and so much more. And I also know that sugar is often the thing that people have the hardest time giving up. Sugar has certainly always been my biggest nemesis when it comes to craving and falling off the wagon. You might remember back in the very first episode of this podcast, I talked about how most people have this general sense that French fries are unhealthy, but they don't really know how or why. So that notion that they are unhealthy in effect renders itself meaningless because we all do things sometimes that we know are unhealthy. This goes beyond food and drink. It could be staying up too late or working too much. So I know for me that understanding more of the nuance of exactly how those French fries, for example, are unhealthy really changes things. The fact that the seed oil that the potatoes are cooked in is literally 20% poison by volume, details like that have made restaurant French fries a full-on deal breaker for me. I will not eat seed oil French fries under any circumstances because that is a level of unhealthy that I'm not on board with, especially since fries can be made at home with tallow or duck fat if you want them badly enough. So much like I discussed in that episode, I think it's important to get a fuller picture on what the damage is when we consume sugar, because the nuances make it far more compelling to evaluate our consumption with a little bit more consideration. I'll start with one of the most interesting facts that I've learned to date about sugar, which is that it poisons your mitochondria, which are the power generators of your cells. When you consume sugar, specifically fructose, it significantly impairs your mitochondria's ability to generate energy in the form of ATP, or adenosine triphosphate. And the majority of the energy used daily by your body is provided by mitochondria. I've linked to a really entertaining interview with an MD named Robert Lustig. And in this video, he asserts that because sugar inhibits your mitochondria's ability to make energy, sugar is not actually food. He references a definition of food from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, which says that food is substrate that contributes to either the growth or burning of an organism. And he notes that sugar does neither of these things. Sugar may have calories, but it's not food. Since watching this interview, I have come across this idea that sugar isn't food several more times. I linked to a paper by an MD named Harold Snow that was published back in 1948, where he discusses this very idea. He says, "The definition of a food is that which sustains life and promotes growth. Sugar refined to the state of being a pure chemical or drug has been fed to rats and found to shorten life and stop growth. Therefore, sugar can't be called a food. Like alcohol, sugar furnishes only calories to the body. A drug is defined as any substance used as a chemical ingredient in the arts. Pharmacists agree that sugar meets the requirements of this definition of a drug. In this article, we shall consider, quoting in every instance scientific evidence, the following. 1. Reasons why sugar is not a food but a drug. 2. How sugar as a refined chemical excessively used is now damaging the human body in infancy, in childhood, in middle and old age." The paper is a good read, and what I appreciated about it personally is the statement that sugar is a drug is something that I've heard people say a lot. And because it's such a strong statement, I've always felt hesitant about embracing it myself because I'm not sure that that can be said definitively. I have always felt that it's fair to say that sugar is a substance that has drug-like effects. I have said that many times, and I feel that that is accurate. But hearing this assertion from multiple reputable sources that sugar doesn't actually meet the stated definition of food is very interesting when viewed in the lens of sugar as drug. Another aspect of sugar that I've always been aware of is that it displaces more nutrient-dense foods. But it's actually worse than this. Sugar depletes your body of nutrients. This phenomenon is called micronutrient dilution, and there is a shocking amount of literature on this topic. Because modern sugar is so heavily processed that it's refined to a nearly pure state, it's completely devoid of nutrients like vitamins and minerals. So when you consume sugar, in order to free its calories as energy, nutrients are drawn from other foods you've eaten or from your body's nutrient stores. Higher sugar intake has been demonstrated to increase deficiencies in numerous vitamins and nutrients like thiamine, magnesium, vitamin C, calcium, and vitamin E. One paper I linked to looking at Australian adults noted that a high free sugar intake was found to have a significant diluting effect on most nutrients. Something that's interesting to mention here is that obese people have notoriously high rates of micronutrient deficiencies. It can seem counterintuitive because there is a very evident excess of stored energy, but obesity is actually a state of malnutrition. So many people think about the food they eat solely through the lens of calories, but there is so much more going on. Your cells require certain vitamins and nutrients as cofactors in order to carry out different processes in the body. And when you eat refined sugar, your body is forced to draw vitamins and nutrients from somewhere else in order for that sugar to be metabolized. Another one of the biggest problems with sugar on our human physiology is that it's extremely inflammatory. Most people have heard this before. We know that inflammation is bad and that some foods are very inflammatory. But again, the average person typically can't explain why it's bad. This is where you need to understand the difference between acute inflammation and chronic inflammation. Acute inflammation is a short-term immune response from your body that's actually a very necessary part of the healing process. If you twist your ankle playing basketball, you will likely experience noticeable inflammation by way of swelling, redness, pain, and extra heat at the site of the sprain. And this is all part of a healthy immune system's proper functioning. The inflammation typically resolves very quickly and goes away once the injury is healed. Chronic inflammation, on the other hand, is when you are inflamed all the time. And most people are chronically inflamed as a result of the standard American diet. Chronic inflammation is at the root of nearly all disease. A paper I linked to actually states this a little more strongly, not just as an associative problem, but causal. It says, an increasing body of evidence shows that chronic inflammation causes and advances many common diseases. Common symptoms that develop because of chronic inflammation are body pain, arthralgia and myalgia, chronic fatigue and insomnia, depression, anxiety, mood disorders, gastrointestinal complications like constipation, diarrhea, and acid reflux, and frequent infections. But chronic inflammation also ignites a long list of diseases, from diabetes to cancer to arthritis to heart disease. There is so much literature that makes it apparent that our bodies are not equipped to be in a state of inflammation 24/7, 365. But because we are so surrounded by carbs and sugar, this is what's happening for most people. I've linked to a bunch of studies that show how consuming added sugars increases inflammatory markers. But conversely, when people consume less sugar, inflammatory markers in the blood decrease. We have so much control over the inflammation that we experience, and it starts with diet. Sugar is also notorious for wreaking havoc on hormone health. There are many different pathways for how this happens, and there are also nuances for how it affects men versus women. For example, excess insulin increases testosterone in women, but decreases testosterone in men. One study of male subjects showed that a sugar intake of 75 grams, which is very easy to consume in our modern world, a standard-sized blueberry muffin has about 75 grams of sugar. That intake causes a 25% drop in testosterone for up to 2 hours after consumption. The high insulin that results from sugar consumption alters basal hormone levels significantly, male or female. In women, the damage that sugar does on hormones is apparent in disorders like PCOS, which stands for polycystic ovarian syndrome. We've talked about PCOS briefly before. It is considered to be insulin resistance for women. In one study I linked to, they showed that an imbalance in basal steroid hormones correlates strongly with the formation of ovarian cysts, and that diet plays a direct role in the generation of reproductive dysfunction. Elevated insulin levels also lead to lower levels of SHBG, sex hormone-binding globulin, which binds to excess estrogen and testosterone in the blood. When SHBG is low, these hormone levels increase, So for example, you may have more free circulating estrogen in your blood if you have low SHBG, and that's going to change the functioning of your hormone system. These altered ratios have a variety of different effects, too many to get into in this episode. There seem to be endless combinations of problems when it comes to hormone imbalances. Because your hormones are your body's chemical messengers and control so many different processes in the body, there's so much that can be thrown off balance because our bodies were never designed to consume this much sugar. Sugar also has big impact on thyroid health and adrenal health. You may have heard of the notion that sugar causes adrenal fatigue, and that's because it has been demonstrated that the blood sugar spikes and crashes caused by sugar consumption affect how much cortisol your adrenal glands produce and release into the body. Another well-demonstrated effect that sugar has on our physiology is that it damages your arteries. One study showed that the greater the fluctuations were, the more damage that was done, regardless of the actual amount of glucose. MD and PhD Silvio Buscemi, who was a lead researcher on one of the studies that demonstrated this, said that these blood sugar fluctuations are toxic for the endothelium, which is the inner lining of the blood vessels, even if you're not diabetic. Sugar has also been shown to cause all sorts of problems with skin. Sugar consumption is known to break down collagen and lead to premature aging. They have actually shown in studies that the perceived age of people with high blood sugar levels is greater than those with lower blood sugar levels. Sugar has also been demonstrated to cause an increase in sebum production, which clogs pores. High blood sugar levels have been found in patients with rosacea. Sugar consumption is an aggravating factor in eczema. Sugar consumption causes AGEs, or advanced glycation end products. This is the irreversible tangling of the tissues in your body, and it's one of the health consequences that we talked about in episode 18 on wheat. And on that note, sugar actually shares many of the same health consequences as wheat. It also wrecks cardiometabolic health. It is also a huge driver of type 2 diabetes. It also causes an explosion of small LDL particles, which is the type of cholesterol molecule that's implicated in heart disease. Sugar increases the risk of irritable bowel disease. Sugar has been shown to suppress the immune system. Sugar is known to be a common trigger for migraines due to the rapid swing in your blood sugar level. Sugar contributes significantly to the accumulation of visceral fat. Sugar plays a role in inducing non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. Sugar has been shown to have a negative impact on bone health. It lowers both bone density and bone quality, not to mention the effect that sugar has on our teeth and how it causes tooth decay. Sugar has been shown to worsen the symptoms of acid reflux. It lowers the pH of your stomach acid and increases both heartburn frequency and severity. Sugar also seems to not only increase the odds for developing numerous types of cancer, but also impact your chance of survival, as cancer cells have a reputation for having a sweet tooth. One of the most reputable institutions in the world for treating cancer, Memorial Sloan Kettering, states the following on their Cancer Center website. Scientists have known for over a century that cancer cells have a great appetite for sugar. It's the basis for the diagnostic imaging test called a PET scan. Tumors take up sugar at much higher rates than normal cells, and you can see this difference on film. The darker the spot, the higher the sugar uptake. I could go on and on listing different examples of how sugar damages the body, but I think the point has been made. Sugar is trouble. Beyond the behavioral and mental effects of sugar, which is a whole other can of worms, it is clear that sugar wreaks havoc in our bodies on a cell level. The elephant in the room here is now what? Sometimes I want to vow to never eat sugar ever again because I am disgusted on principle by so many aspects of not only the sugar itself, but also the industry. It is wild when you think about how integrated sugar is into every aspect of modern life. It is in nearly everything. 75% of packaged foods in the US have added sweetener, and nearly every single occasion in life is marked by some sort of sugary treat. Now, in reality, and at this point of my carnivore eating, I really don't eat sugar that often anymore because the trade-off of feeling terrible is not worth it to me most of the time. But there are still certain occasions where I want to have an experience that involves sugar. One example that I talk about in my course is the first time I went to Harry Potter World. Of course I had butterbeer ice cream and chocolate frogs and Birdie Bots every flavor beans, and I regret none of it. Except for maybe the dirt and booger flavored jelly beans. And I can think of some other really special potential situations where I'd consider partaking in something involving sugar. But what I will say is that having gained a fuller scope of the burden that sugar inflicts on the body, my threshold for what's potentially worth it has gotten a lot higher, tremendously so. Likewise, I hope that the information I've shared with you in this episode also helps you to evaluate these decisions in your own life with far more consideration. If you want to hear from me between podcast episodes, subscribe to my email list. I'll be sharing bonus articles, studies, and inspiration that will be especially helpful if you're someone who finds sticking with carnivore challenging. Sign up at the link in the show notes or go to theroadtocarnivore.com.